Do you have smartphones and maybe not quite so smart kids? I say that kindly, by the way, parents. Or maybe it's really not so smart parents when it comes to managing smartphones. Sometimes we feel outsmarted, don't we? Hey, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living, and I'm chuckling because sometimes that's the way it feels. Our phones sometimes seem smarter than we are, certainly quicker than we are. And if you're going to be a smart parent today, you've got to understand, and as a grandparent especially, to understand what's going on with your kids and your grandkids when it comes to managing these so-called smartphones. And today on Intentional Living, we're really picking up from a program that we did about a month ago that talked about smartphones and smart choices. And we had so many calls that came in as a result of a call that we played then from Sarah, and we're going to replay that in a moment, that we thought we'd revisit that again today. As practical as we can be, what are some things you've been doing to stay smart when it comes to phones, internet, all of the social media, things going on with your kids today? And what are things you're doing to be smart when it comes as a parent or grandparent in managing that? Even though today's program is what we call one of the best of Intentional Living from our archives, because we've had so many powerful calls on it, you can still participate by sharing your stories on our comment line. We'd love to hear you. Just call 888-888-1717. All right, let's hear that call that started all this. Sarah, who started off the show originally.
I was wondering how you feel about a 13-year-old girl having a smartphone. I think I made a bad decision maybe in getting her one last year at the age of 12, and it was a nightmare watching it because all of a sudden she had to look a certain way. She wanted to start wearing makeup and things like that, and I almost watched her self-esteem just plummet.
Hey, listen, what do you think? What does work for you, not work for you, with Intentional Living? 888-888-1717 is the number. Love your comments on our storyline, because we want to see if we can help Sarah. Hopefully you're listening today, Sarah. Cindy's on the line, wants to help herself. Cindy, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello there. Appreciate your call. What would you say to Sarah today?
Well, she's dealing with this at a time when everything is on the telephone. Everything is on the internet. I dealt with this when my daughter was 15, and she's now 30.
So it was back, you're talking 15 years ago. It's changed a lot since then. Now, what was she, how did you deal with it 15 years ago?
I set parameters. Her dad and I sat down with her, and we said, we don't feel that you need to have a cell phone. You can always get in touch with us. And we think that it would be just a great big distraction. You would always be on it because at the time we did have computers, and that's what was happening with the computer. Of course, we got a lot of flack from her. You don't love me. You don't trust me, you know, on and on and on. But again, we set the parameters. No, when you are this age, you may have it. When you are working, you may possibly get one. And I told her, I said, you know, you were given to me by God to raise. I said, you're ultimately His. I'm borrowing you. And I said, like anything else, you have to take care of what you've borrowed because it doesn't belong to you. I said, I'm going to stand before Him one day, and I want to be able to tell Him I did the best that I could with you. I think Satan uses that as a tool, just like the internet. Now, as an adult, we're on the internet, we're on our phones because they're here. It's the way you use them. It's what you let your children do with them. I have her grandchildren I've raised. Again, they have to be in the same room. They are age-appropriate games. They're never left by themselves. They don't get to go in their other rooms and, you know, just be watching what you think they're watching.
Yeah.
So, no.
Well, you know, we have so many distractions today as it is with parenting. We got busy families. We got division in our country. We got a lot of cultural forces going on. We got entertainment forces, and technology is changing so rapidly, and there's a lot of research being done, psychological research and relational research, to show the good and bad when it comes to technology. Because anything that can be good can also be evil. We know that. I mean, that's just, we see that in life throughout history. And so while technology adds value to our homes, adds value to our world, it can also be very destructive. So thank you for weighing in on that, Cindy. Appreciate it. Let me go to Nancy. Nancy is in Texas. Nancy, go right ahead. Welcome to Intentional Living.
Hi.
Hi. What's your story?
Well, I think my son had a phone at 14. I don't think that, I guess kids should have them that early. My son was accused in a trial in a case that they used that against him. You know, kids say stuff that they don't mean. You know, like kids are, you know, kids speak on what's going on right now. They don't think long term. They talk on short term. You know.
Yeah.
They don't think a lot of the stuff they say, you know, will affect them later on.
Boy, that is so powerful. And it did affect him, apparently.
Oh, yes, because, you know, they use that against him, you know, and messages, text messages. That's one thing a lot of the kids don't know, that those can never be deleted. You may delete them from the phone, but they can never be deleted from their data.
Yeah, you know, that is an excellent reminder, Nancy, to every young person listening today. You are leaving a digital trail that will last for your whole life. And you know, your parents and grandparents, not so much. But your generation, the younger generation, the millennials in particular, I mean, you got a trail going all the way back to, let's face it, some of the dumb things maybe you text back in junior high school or pictures that were posted that just don't go away, and they're there. And so that's a very good reminder, Nancy. You know, as a mom, I'm sure your heart is broken. How can we pray for you today, Nancy?
I would like prayer for my son. He has, you know, tried to change his life. I mean, I never had trouble with my son before or anything. I think a lot of us parents, we need to pray for the parents.
Yeah.
Because the parents, you know, we get too comfortable with our kids. You know, we think, oh, our other kids, they didn't get in trouble, or the other kids, you know, I feel like the parents are the ones that need prayer, because we're the ones that are raising our children. So never be too nosy with your children. Never be too nosy with their phones or their involvement with friends or anything, you know, because we always think that we know our kids, but you really don't, you know?
Yeah.
You know, there's things that they, you know, I say that I hear the other, you know, the people are saying that, you know, it comes from the parents. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, you know, if you're gonna err on the side of being too nosy, then not a nosy enough.
Correct.
You can always back off, but it's hard to go in the other direction. Nancy, we'll be praying for you. I know others will as well, and we'll be praying for you and your family and through this very difficult time with your son being incarcerated. So appreciate your call today.
All right, thank you.
God bless you. All right. Hey, it's a good reminder. Nancy reminds us that this digital trail that our kids are leaving, we need to be training them. It matters. Later when they go for a job, and, you know, let's face it, someone applies for a job, what's the first thing you do? You're going to be looking somebody up and finding out what their history is, and that can be your friend or can be your enemy, can it? All right, here we go. We're talking, we started out today opening the phone lines, and Sarah got us going with the question of, was it too young for her to get I think 11-year-old daughter a smartphone that really helped plummet her self-esteem? What do you think? Our comment line is open. 888-1717. I don't think I was really wired at the beginning to do what I'm doing today. I grew up, my childhood memories are really filled with wanting to measure up, not feeling like I'm measuring up.
Yes.
And yet we do what we do sometimes. We're on the platform, and there's where Satan will get us. With discouragement.
Yes.
And I bet you, like me, have walked off the platform and said, I blew it. That wasn't good.
Just decimated.
That was awful.
That's right. Absolutely.
You right?
So often. And in two different sets of experience. Like, I've had that night and be like, that was it. I'm sure now I'm found out. They know I'm a charlatan, you know, or whatever. Yeah. You know, but then hear stories later of how Jesus used that time in somebody's life and going like, what in the world? And then another night when I really felt like I had it together, I felt like it was the best we ever sang. The set was laid out. We shared something we felt like was super profound or something. And then crickets, you know what I mean? Nothing, man. In as far as a testimony goes, you know, this is what I love about the gospel, man. We have to realize our deficit, man. We have to realize our need. When Jesus said the Beatitudes, when he shared the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are, and he fills in the blank with people we would not fill in the blank with. It was basically all people who could recognize their need for a Savior, right? When we realize our need for him, we can see, hey, I need a Savior. And he's like, here I am. Here I am. You couldn't do it, so I did. That's the gospel on our behalf, right?
Amen. Mike Weaver has a story to share, and he will on the upcoming Alaska cruise, June 12 through 19. He and his wife, Candace, along with our ministry president, Evan, and his wife, Kelly Carlson, and my wife, Donna, and myself, I'm going to be teaching. Mike's going to be leading us in worship and putting on a concert. Evan's going to be teaching. We're just going to have a lot of fellowship, eating together, and then you all get to see some of the most beautiful sights and tour various stops and just enjoy an entire week away, breathing some fresh air come June. We're looking forward to it. Cabins are limited. Love to have you be a part of the 2022 cruise to Alaska with intentional living and some very powerful, unique, biblically-based teaching to encourage one another in our journey together. All you have to do to get your cabin reserved today is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And you'll click on the events, you'll see the cruise, and you can get registered today. You know, we're talking about smartphones and people calling in. I want to replay that original call from Sarah that started all of this, if you just joined us, because this is such a huge topic on being intentional so we can help our kids and our grandkids with their smartphones to make smart choices. Boy, now more than ever, be intentional in this area. Let me play this original call from Sarah one more time.
I was wondering how you feel about a 13-year-old girl having a smartphone. I think I made a bad decision maybe in getting her one last year at the age of 12, and it was a nightmare watching it because all of a sudden she had to look a certain way. She wanted to start wearing makeup and things like that, and I almost watched her self-esteem just plummet.
Mm. Well, Sarah, part of it's age, right? That's a critical age. But the cell phone doesn't add because there's so much for young people today where they're comparing with each other, they're competitive with each other. Let's face it, kids can be cruel, they're not as supportive as we'd like them to be. And when they get on to communicating with each other, there's been a lot of bullying. We've seen some of the stories where very destructive things have happened. And so at best, the cell phone or the smartphone can help your child learn some things and communicate with people. But boy, the downside, the flip side of that coin's got a lot of potholes and dangerous places to go. And so smart parents, hey, listen, don't get a smartphone unless you're a smart parent, okay? And have a smart kid. What do you all think? Let's see if Ashley can weigh in. She's got a comment from Michigan today. Ashley, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hi, thank you.
Appreciate your call. What would you like to share with Sarah?
So I grew up in the 2000s, and I had access to a computer with the internet in my room. And with that access, I tried to seek out the attention that I didn't really feel from my parents through other people. And that included predators online.
Mm.
I had no idea at the time that I was talking to people who were abusing me and taking advantage of me. But if there was one piece of advice I would leave with parents, it's to build your kids up with confidence, give them attention, unconditional love, and provide a space where they feel like they can be open and honest with you.
So you could have talked to your parents about what was going on. Did they ask? Did they monitor? Were they involved in your life at that level?
Not at the time, no. I mean, maybe 5 years down the road, they did end up looking through my phone and seeing the activity I was associating myself with. But at that point, it had already happened.
Mm-hmm. And so your advice... Hey, parents, have an open communication, set some limits, but have an environment where you guys can, as a family, can talk about these things.
Yeah.
How old were you at the time, Ashley?
I was about 12 years old.
and they just gave you access to the internet in your own room?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh. All right. So today, can I ask, are you a parent now, Ashley?
I'm not, no.
Okay. If God led you to be a parent down the road, how would you handle it?
I would focus on giving them the attention that they need, filling them up with positivity and self-esteem so they didn't feel like they would have to seek that out through strangers and other people.
Boy, there's so much evil that can go on. Come on, parents. You know, if nothing else today, and I know we're smarter now about this or more knowledgeable. I don't know if we're smarter, but we're more knowledgeable than maybe back in the 2000s or back 20 years, 15, 20 years ago, as we're learning more and more and seeing more and more of the stories. But parents, if nothing else, I hope today Sarah got us going to think about this, talk about it, and learn to be smart parents before we get a smartphone. Don't get a smartphone unless you're a smart parent, okay? Thank you, Ashley, for sharing your story, and I'm sorry that that was your experience and what you went through. That's a whole other story of recovery, and that should be a whole other topic, recovery after this kind of a thing that you've been through. 888-1717 is the phone number. I'd like to know what your thinking is on this here at Intentional Living. Let's go to Tina, who's in Arizona as well, with a comment. Tina, go right ahead.
I was calling to let people know that my sister did end up buying my nephew and my niece both a phone. They were probably 4 or 5 years old when they both received their phones.
Mm. And how old are they now?
The nephew is 9 and the niece is 11.
And they still have the phones?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. What do you think about that?
My sister raising her kids is really strict. She's always on their phones, checking the phones. If they have homework, the phones are not allowed. They're sitting at dinner, the phones are not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
They go to bed at the end of the night, the phones are not allowed. They're taken out of the room, so they don't even have them.
So she took the approach of, I'm going to give them the phones early, but I'm going to monitor everything. I'm going to be very strict.
That's about it. I do believe I've asked my niece and nephew if they take the phone to school, and they said yes.
No, I mean, I'm asking, are you a parent?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So you...
No,
you...
I don't even know how I would handle it being a parent, because when I was being raised, it was back in the 60s.
Yeah.
So there was no computer, there was no push-button telephone, there was none of that, so we grew up a different way.
I'd be interested to know your sister, what her thinking was on a 4 or 5 year old getting a phone. That's something I'd recommend. That's not something we would do. I know parents who get their kids a phone when they're maybe 10, 11 years of age, but they have not only restrictions in terms of, hey, you don't have access to the internet, maybe you're going to have a few games on there, some things that I've allowed to be on there that you can learn how to use. And so you're learning technology. It becomes an instructional thing. If you're going to hand that out, you got to remember that it can be a very dangerous thing for kids. Really can. All right, Tina, thank you for your call. We're talking intentional living today. And in particular, we got started with Sarah, who started the question with, hey, I think I blew it maybe with my 12-year-old giving her a cell phone, and then seeing the impact on her self-esteem as she started to compare herself with other people, which can be very damaging. Love to know what you think. 888-1717 on our comment line.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Now, we tend to, in our culture, just kind of blend those two, that shame and guilt are the same thing, but they're not. Psychologically, when we're working with people, we see shame and guilt as two different things. Shame is about me, who I am. We can just feel shameful sometimes as a person. Maybe we grew up in an environment where we just never felt like we measured up. We were never good enough. For whatever reason, some of us just walk around feeling ashamed all the time. You know, that's an excerpt from the teaching this month that's gone out to our members, and I called it Who Pushed Humpty? You know, that little nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, had the great fall, all the horses of the king, all the men serving the king couldn't put Humpty back together again. That's my own version, by the way. But that's sort of what happened with Adam and Eve. They broke into a million pieces, and humanity has spent centuries trying to rebuild man with religiosity, with science, with experiences, you name it. And the only thing that will ever, well, put Humpty back together is Jesus. That's what we teach. We believe that God so loved us that he gave his son, and as a result, we can have eternal life. But we still live in a fallen world, and the cracks still exist. And I talked about these three things of shame and blame and pain based on Genesis chapter 3 that are reality in life. The teaching has gone out, and let me just say, last call here at the end of the month, for those of you to come and join us. We need your help as we're going through this new year. We need you to stand with us. We want you to be a part of the intentional living community. Hey, listen, whoever's most intentional in the life of your kids and grandkids is going to win, and we want it to be Jesus. We want God to be the center of your life, and we want to walk with you and encourage you in the process of not only knowing what his intention is, but then living that in the moment. So come and support the ministry. Your monthly support allows us to keep going, and we will sign you up immediately, start sending to you by email a video and audio teaching every month, plus a lot of other helpful resources. And right now, last call for the flip book, The 52 Intentional Moments, we want to send to you. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Thank you for supporting the ministry. All right, let's just take a pause and listen to another story from our comment line.
Yeah, Randy, I just wanted to tell you I appreciate the one thing wristband, which I wear every day, and my one thing is my life. Every time I look at it, it reminds me to hear my wife's confessions, listen to my wife's ideas, and take my wife's considerations into every decision I make. And I thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you. And by the way, you have a good ministry, and you're doing so many things for so many people that you probably don't even know. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you, man. Appreciate it. And if you don't know what he's talking about, it's a little wristband that I had made for myself just a number of years ago, and I have it on it, one thing. It's just a nice, bright, white, on a purple wristband that says one thing, with the focus on what one thing today, God, would you have me do or be or think about or meditate on or grow into that would bring you glory, maybe in my marriage, my family, my health, and maybe a different thing each day, or maybe one thing for 30 days as a 30-day challenge until it becomes a habit in your life. And he has picked one up along the way. We've had thousands go out through our conferences and through our events and through some of our special activities during the year. So thank you, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate your support. Let's go to Deborah, who's in Arizona. If you just joined us, the question is, should kids have smartphones? If so, at what age? And does it work or not work? Deborah, welcome to the program. What do you think on this topic?
Well, I have so much to say. I hope I can say it in the amount of airtime I have. My daughter's 18, and she's had a smartphone since she was 13. Originally, it was a flip phone when she was about 10, but then it became difficult to find a flip phone anymore.
Yes.
The reason for the phone in the beginning is because we're divorced, and I wanted to be able to talk to my children without going through messages that their father didn't give them. But I sort of became an evangelist after that, telling every parent, if you can delay the smartphone, do it for as long as possible, because my daughter would be in her room and telling me she was texting friends, which turned out that wasn't what she was doing. But I would have to say, ultimately, I agree with Ashley, who was trying to fill a void of being loved and appreciated and needed, because that's what they're doing when they're doing what they shouldn't be doing on those phones.
Mm-hmm.
We took the data away and she could go to the McDonald's and get on the Wi-Fi. If you got rid of the Wi-Fi, they could get apps. If you took the phone entirely. She had a friend leave one in the bushes. She had a friend mail her one. So if they want to do it, they're going to do it. And you can spend, it can be a full-time job trying to control this from the outside. And so I'm going to say ultimately just don't get a phone, but also it really has to come from the inside with the relationship that you have with your child, the modeling that you do as a parent, using every teachable moment that there is, never leaving anything to question about a weird look they give you. That's what you really need to be on your toes about, more so than a device, because they're going to get access to a device and to the wrong stuff when they're trying to fill a void.
Yeah, so don't just trust an app that supposedly is going to protect your children. You have to be a smart parent. I would ask the passion, Deborah.
They get another phone, they get, yes.
You've got a lot of passion in what you're sharing. How is your relationship with your daughter now?
It ultimately got worse before it got better, and I think she basically had to go to the worst of the worst before she started to come around. And, you know, my lesson has been, how is anybody going to respect you when you don't respect yourself? You have to demand respect. But it's limitless how far these devices can take them, can persuade them, can entice them. And, you know, like, to the point of unspeakable things that, you know, I'm so ashamed of. I can't even imagine in my childhood, in my teenage years, ever even entertaining. So just, you know, if I can be an evangelist for all those parents out there, you know, if you don't learn from something, it really doesn't have a lot of value. And so I'm very passionate in sharing this, and I'm late for work, but I just want, you know, I want these parents to just please be aware, because it's like Satan sitting there in a box.
Boy, I guess that pretty well says it. Thank you, Deborah, for taking time to be late from work to share, because that was a ministry to a lot of young moms and dads and parents who are listening today, and grandparents too, who have responded. Grandparents in particular, listen, you're raising your grandkids. They're a whole lot smarter than you are when it comes to this stuff, okay? So don't be deceived. You think everything is good behind closed doors. Know what's going on. And you've gotten some good thoughts from Deborah today. Deborah, thank you. God bless you. Have a good day at work. What do you all think? Love to have you weigh in on your thoughts. Intentional living is a conversation, after all. As we talk about life and relationships, we believe, declare your intention before Christ, bring Him glory, figure out what pleases Him, and then do it. Life is always better when we do that. It's pretty simple, but it's powerful. That's what intentional living is. What do you think? Kids having smartphones? Interesting thought. 888-888-1717 on our comment line, and we'll join you next time right here from Intentional Living. See you then.